Well, later today, more than a million people are expected to turn out for Culture Night, an evening that celebrates Irish arts and creativity across thousands of venues. But why just one night a year? Why can't every night be Culture Night? And what can we do to support Irish artists on the other 364 nights of the year? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. And Culture Night takes place every year on a Friday in September. And it's actually hard to believe that has been going for 20 years. When I thought about it, I thought it went back to about 2014. But I think that's actually just the first year I went. It was a pretty humble start. It was just an idea here in Dublin. But now it's right across the country. It takes place in 1,700 locations. And it celebrates everything from music to dance to the visual arts. And it does work. More than 1.2 million people took part last year. But it's just one night. And some people might say it's not really a nighttime thing, because many of the events finish well before midnight. And across the continent, if you look where there's similar initiatives, you see many performances that last deep into the night, in fact, well into the morning, in venues that aren't normally used for the arts. So can we and should we expand on the success of Culture Night? And what might it mean for people who've campaigned to develop what's called Ireland's nighttime economy? Well, I'm joined now by two voices. Ray O'Donoghue is Dublin's nighttime economy advisor. He's here in News Talk Daily HQ. You're very welcome.
How are you?
And on the line from Cork is the Electronic Music Council's Natalie McCormack, otherwise known as DJ Natmac. You're welcome, Natalie.
Thank you.
Right, Ray, I'm going to start from you, right? Because I sometimes think the word culture to a lot of people sounds a bit lofty. You know, they're a very cultured person. They have a great appreciation of the arts, as if it's something that very learned people enjoy. It's not really, is it? What is culture to you?
Oh, don't start off with a nice, easy question.
We're very intellectual here on News Talk Daily.
Well, I agree that sometimes we get that impression. People think of opera and people think of the theatre and art galleries and so on. But I mean, culture is right across the board. It's anything that involves art. There's a great book Brian Eno just wrote that I've had by my bedside, What is Art? And really, soap operas are art culture, you know, because it gives you preparation for life in general. You watch these TV shows or you see art or you go to a theatre, and sometimes it should reflect your own life or it should reflect what's happening around you. So there's, like, we could talk about this, I'm sure, for a long time, but I think sometimes culture, there can be some kind of a line drawn, and I don't think that's really fair. I remember I've been involved in the entertainment culture and whatever, nighttime economy, for 25, 30 years, really, more even. I really didn't, I've never done anything else. I've seen right across the board everything from bands to theatre to DJs, right across the board. And I think it incorporates everything. I remember I was looking after a well-known singer in the country, and I got onto an art centre and said, oh, will you look at putting them on? And he said, oh, no, that's not the kind of music we promote. And I said, well, what do you mean it's not the kind of music? I don't understand. Oh, well, you know, commercial. And I said, what do you mean? It might sell tickets. So I was kind of flabbergasted a little bit. I was like, okay, that doesn't really make much sense to me. Where do you draw the line? Who says the music is art and isn't art? So I was just a little bit flabbergasted by that.
Natalie, to come to you, what is the Irish cultural scene at the minute? How would you describe it?
Well, I would say I definitely represent a community of electronic music artists, and there's lots of different attributes to that. There's a multidisciplinary selection of people involved. And just touching on what you were talking around culture, it's communities, it's people, it's, you know, inclusivity, it's, you know, freedom, it's expression, it's all of that included. So for the Irish cultural scene, I think we do very well at expressing that. And I'm always delighted to see so many come through for Culture Night. So today we'll see lots of different people come through for that. And in terms of the scene, I do think there are avenues for people to express and share their different communities, experiences, their art, but there could always be more. And that's why I would agree that there could be opportunities for us to celebrate more than just one night. I've been very happy to have run two flagship events with the Cork City Council Council and the Cork County Council for Culture Night. And they've really celebrated the variety of people involved in the communities that I represent, but would always love to see more. So yes, we have a great landscape. There is lots of opportunity to see it, but there could be more.
Why do you think engaging with culture is a positive thing? Why is it important, Ray, to have a country with a thriving cultural scene?
Again, nice, easy question. Thank you. I think one of the things I've tried to bring in within the strategy, Dublin City Council strategy, there's kind of three pillars, and cultural activity is number one pillar in that strategy. So more cultural activity, more late night cultural activity, more free, low cost, there's transport and safety, of course. And I would like to think that we've brought in a lot more late night culture. And as Natalie said, sometimes it's a great community, and there is a great community in that kind of late night scene, electronic scene. And I've come from it myself. I was a DJ 30 years ago and was for quite a few years after that. And part of what we're trying to do tonight, we've brought 8 venues in for Nocturnal Beats, which is all late night stuff. Last year was the first year we brought it in, and it was the first time Culture Night had gone beyond 11 o'clock. A lot of them were starting at 11 and finishing at 2:30 in the morning. So there's 8 venues now right across the city centre, everywhere from Parnell Street to Smithfield to slap bang the city centre up to Camden Street. So that's a positive. The likes of Tengu and Wigwam and Pygmalion, Block, all of these venues. Whelans are involved this time as well, which is great to see them doing some electronic music as well. I think that's a positive, bringing that culture into Culture Night, making it a little bit more mainstream, giving it some kind of a confirmation that it is a cultural art form, you know. And you look at Berlin, they recognize clubbing in UNESCO as a legitimate cultural form, and we don't. We sometimes brush it under the carpet a little bit and treat it as the dirty friend or something, you know, that it's not, that doesn't have the respect that something in the National Concert Hall or something in the National Gallery would have. And I'm trying to help as much as possible to help bring that into that mainstream, into that fold.
Can I put that question to you, Natalie?
Culture is so important because it connects us, and it gives people that sense of belonging. It's like a way to express themselves, a chance to experience something far beyond your everyday. And that's something that I'm really pleased to have celebrated in some of the work that we've done over Culture Night, is to celebrate some of those communities. And culture, just if we really just strip back culture, it also reflects who we are as those communities, like values, creativity, diversity. There's so many different attributes to culture that if you get to engage with it, you understand it a bit more, or you connect with it, or something resonates with you and you go, wow, I like this, you know. So that's why I really love it when we run events, like what Ray was talking about, getting people into these spaces so that they get to experience it maybe perhaps when they wouldn't ordinarily. And when people take part in these cultural experiences, whether it's music, art, shared spaces, whatever it might be, it actually strengthens, I feel, those social bonds. So it means people can open up new ways of thinking, maybe work together more. And that's something that I am all about. That is all part of my makeup, part of the organisation Electronic Music Council. How can we bring people together to work together and celebrate that?
Ray, give me a sense of how Culture Night has grown.
I think it's huge. It's become absolutely massive, and it's a brilliant night. Don't get me wrong, I'm a big supporter, but I think that a lot of resources go into one night, and I'd love to see those resources spread a little bit more. I'm not saying taken away from Culture Night by any means, but maybe spreading it out, maybe having 4 Culture Nights, maybe have a month of Culture Night, maybe have anything that can spread it, because it's such a positive experience for people to go into these places. And like Natalie said, into these places, sometimes they think might be, oh, well, that's not really for me, but, oh, I can go for free, and, oh, I can have a look at this. And it's, you see places around Europe, Spanish cities. I've been to festivals over there that last for 3 or 4 weeks. And these are like cultural festivals, not, you know, big parties. They're like, well, they are big parties, but they're right across the board. They'll last for 3-4 weeks at a time. Santa Tecla in Tarragona is something I've been to a few times. Amazing stuff going on. Every night there's something happening. And I just think sometimes we go, oh, that's brilliant, let's do one night or do a weekend. Why don't we do a full month of it, you know? Why can't we celebrate Samhain for 3 weeks, you know? Why can't we do four different, I'm trying to get my Irish pronunciation right, but we've old Irish calendar. We've got Imbolc in February, we've Beltane in May, we've Lunasa in August, now we've Samhain, of course, famously, around Halloween. So why can't we celebrate them? Maybe that's something where that's an idea I'd like to explore more, especially in Dublin City.
For somebody who hasn't attended Culture Night, right, and I bear in mind that 1.2 million people took part last year, so hopefully most people across the country, or a lot of people across the country, have engaged in it in some way. Describe it for people.
I can describe it in Dublin City, and I'd really, really encourage anyone who's listening in this morning, today, whatever time you may have tuned in at, get out, do something, even if it's half an hour. Just get out and get off the couch. Don't watch Netflix tonight. Don't get the takeaway. Go out into town or go to your local town, village, whatever. There will be something happening. And just wander around. Last year, I went to all seven venues. I was on Cable Street, Murr Street, all around Abbey Street, Wood Quay, Amphitheatre. Amazing stuff going on there. Colour, people around, happy faces. What's not to like?
Yeah, I remember the first time we went, we walked down Cork Street and there was an artist studio. It was just open. The lights were on and you went inside and you could see artists at work. And then we strolled on and St. Patrick's Cathedral, which I'd lived beside for 5 years, had never been inside the door. It was open and we went, did a tour of St. Patrick's Cathedral up to St. Michael's, went in to see the crypts. I've been living in Dublin since I was 17, had never been in there. And then we ended up in Temple Bar and we went into all these different houses and there's different authors and poets reading from manuscripts or reading from their own works or other people's works of arts. And then we ended up in Meeting House Square for the first time. So this was 2014, so I'd have been in my 30s. For the first time ever, I saw the RTE Concert Orchestra playing in Meeting House Square with the wonderful Sean Rocks for 3 hours. Barry McGovern, the actor, came out and did a reading. I think Lisa Lam played music. And we didn't have a plan. We sort of stumbled upon all these things and it was magic.
And that's the thing. You don't actually need a plan. As you said, you just stumble on things. And like last year, as I said, Moore Street and Cable Street was hopping, absolutely. It was a big party on Cable Street, went the whole length of the street, and then obviously all of those venues. So we went all the way through, and it was the first time to go through till 3 o'clock in the morning, which was great as well.
I just wonder, when you say, look, it'd be great rather than having this one big night and putting all the resources into one big night, if we could maybe break it down and have a night of celebration in Balton, Imbolc, Lunasa, Samhain. Proud of myself, I remember those four Irish words. That Balton, I'm going to claim Donegal Irish. That's what I do.
Right,
people criticise my Irish, but it's just different up where we are. But I wonder if we did that, would we dilute that?
I'm talking about adding it, enhancing it. Don't take away the resources from culture. Add the resources. Because this will bring people together. It's better for safety in your cities and towns because there's more people on the street. It's better for people just feeling good about themselves because they go, oh, that's such a great night last night. It was different.
If I was to speak about what's happening tonight, even in Cork City, there's even things that are outside of some of the spaces. Like getting outside, I think, is great as well. I think what Culture Night offers is so many different opportunities to go see something, no matter what you're into. What I would argue, though, is why are we not doing more of this generally? You know, like, why does it have to be a night? I would definitely say would love more support for the community that I support to allow some of the events to take place in venues and do some great work throughout the year. But, you know, we do have some challenges to do that.
So what are those challenges? What's limiting that right now? Is it money?
I definitely feel that we have a lot of factors out there that make things challenging. We obviously do know that there are there's a bit of a cost of living crisis, that, you know, how people are using their nighttime can be a little bit different. But we've got some great positives too in some of those shifts. But we'd like to see more support, like obviously the licensing bill and changes that we've been promised haven't happened. And I think that if we had some more freedom and flexibility to do things, I think that we would have a more positive outcome in our night culture. So I think we've got a few restrictions and a few challenges that if we work together and maybe think about like how we shift and change what we use our spaces for, even maybe multidisciplinary spaces, utilizing different people coming through for the different needs that they have, I think we could really look at like what can we do to make these spaces better and more current throughout the year, not just during Culture Night.
I feel, Ray, that we've been talking about those licensing laws since I started to go to nightclubs and since I stopped going to nightclubs. So that's a good 20-year span. Where are we at with that now?
Let's not go there. It's with the Department of Justice. I still think it's been kicked down the road a little bit, and it's frustrating because I just think the choice should be there. I don't want to be pigeonholed as a person just going on about that, you know, but I definitely think the choice should be there. It's crazy.
But what difference would those licensing laws changes make, do you think, to the nighttime scene here in Dublin?
I mean,
is it really poor in comparison to other European cities?
Yeah, it's not. The nearest capital city in the EU is Helsinki, and they open till 5 o'clock in the morning. Everything else is more or less 24 hours. It would make a difference with staggering the hours, better safety over the course of the night, less cost involved. If you had an actual license, you didn't have to apply for a special dance floor license every couple of weeks. So the operators would have that money to put it into more cultural events and so on. And then I just think the choice for tourists, for residents, for anyone, that if it opened tomorrow, if it came into effect Monday morning, I believe only a handful of places would take it up, and it would be market driven then as well. It's just crazy that the young people today aren't treated like adults. That are treated like adults around the rest of Europe.
To come to you, Natalie, one of the big difficulties too, I think, for maintaining and ensuring you have a thriving cultural scene in Ireland, whether that's art or music or theatre or literature, is that it's really difficult to sustain a life as an artist, for your average artist in Ireland. What difference has that artist basic living payment made to the 2,000 people that have been in receipt of that?
I think that there's definitely been some great support and that they have had some great impact. I know that there's a few artists that have availed of some of those support systems and has really elevated their career. I think that though there's a gap here for us to really look at how else we can support others. We do our best, for instance, in the Electronic Music Council to look at like development programs, and we help people on their journey. We also have looked at youth programs as well. We do a lot of work with some of the younger generation because they're our future generation. It's nice when you have money to explore and be more creative, right? When you have that understanding that you're going to have some money there to support you through your growth. But there can always be opportunities to do more. And I think that we have such an amazing pool of artists and creative in this city. But I do see from my own community people leaving this country to pursue their career because they hit a point where they can't move any further and they actually have to move abroad.
Yeah, and we do have this hugely celebrated creative scene in this country, Ray, but many have become exports. How do we hold on to them?
Well, I mean, we look at the likes of the music exports currently. I mean, there's the likes of Fontaines recently and CMAT and like getting nominated for Mercury Prizes and so on. And then the metal writers we still have. And how do we hold on to them? I don't know. It's a big, difficult question. And there's not a simple answer to it, you know. But I think the support needs to be there. And as we said, more culture nights, more events like that. There's more work for artists, for these struggling musicians, for these performers. The more we have on, the more there is out there. I mean, we can exist without culture, but as we started off talking about Brian Eno. There's a great quote Brian Eno says about culture, and he's like, it's everything we don't have to do. We have to eat, but we don't need cuisine. We have to cover ourselves against the elements, but we don't need fashion. And we've to move about, but we don't have to have transportation design. So there you go. It's like everything that we don't actually essentially need, but it's all of those nice things that we like and make our life, enhance our lives. So get out tonight to Culture Night and support those artists that are out there that are going to get paid tonight, thankfully, even though all the events are free. And it's a great initiative and more of it, please.
Ray O'Donoghue and Natalie McCormick. Thank you so much for joining me today. I second that. Get out and enjoy it. It really is an absolutely brilliant night. That's it from News Talk Daily today. Thank you for your company all of this week. We'll be back in your feed on Monday morning, bright on early. Don't forget to give us a like or a follow, either on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Go Loud, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. But for now, from me, Ciara Doherty, have a great weekend.